I'd like to welcome Reverend Vinnie. Vinnie is our chairperson of the Sydney Presbytery. She's going to be leading the commissioning part of our service today. Thank you, Vinnie.
Thank you, Pirambula. It's wonderful to be here, and I say Mbula to our viewers from home also this morning. Great to be here and to experience and witness another momentum time for church at the in the marketplace. I bring greetings from the Sydney Presbytery, its 30 or so congregations, clergy, agencies of our presbytery. It's wonderful, just wonderful to be here and witness how God is working in this place. In Jesus Christ, we are children of God through faith. Who are baptized into Christ, are clothed with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for we are all one in Christ. Claimed by God in baptism, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit that we may live as witnesses to Jesus Christ, share his ministry in the world, and grow to maturity, awaiting people of our Lord Jesus. Sisters and brothers, the church is God's covenant people, the body of Christ, and dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Baptism into Christ's body initiates people into Christ's life and mission in the world. Through baptism, we are united in a communion of love, service, suffering, and joy in one family of the Father of all in heaven and earth, and in the power of one Spirit. We thank God that the one Spirit has endowed members of Christ's church with a diversity of gifts. There is no gift without its corresponding service, for all ministries have a part in the ministry of Christ. The Uniting Church in Australia affirms that every member of the church is engaged to confess the faith of Christ crucified and to be its faithful servant. It seeks to encourage people to discover and develop the gifts which God's Spirit has given them. The Presbytery of Sydney has discerned God's call for Brodie Teo for the ministry of pastor here in the church, at the church in the marketplace. In the Uniting Church, the ministry of pastor may include teaching the church's beliefs and practices, pastoral oversight, leadership of worship, evangelism, and service beyond a gathered community. The Presbytery of Sydney has determined that Brodie's ministry in this place will be to enable young people to grow their faith in Christ Jesus and to build relationships with and strengthen commitment to the church. He will also oversee and resource the worship team as it relates to music and technology. And I'm going to invite Paul.
Takes me back to when I had kids, the wet wipes always came out in a clump rather than individually. So, it gives me real pleasure to present Brodie Teo for commissioning as a lay pastor. Brodie's been serving and leading youth and young adults ministry at Church in the Marketplace since May 2017. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the journey that Brodie has taken to get to this point. Some of you will know about it, Some of you will know parts. For others of you, it will be something new. Brody's journey of faith commenced when he was a troubled 14-year-old. Family, school, mental health, drugs and alcohol had all been a challenge for him. At his lowest point, he called out to Jesus for help. A friend invited him to a church youth group in Perth. Surprise, surprise, Brody wasn't very keen, but felt compelled to go. That night, he responded to a call and received Christ into his life. The people at that church supported him and cared for him as he worked through the many issues that he needed to deal with in his life. The youth pastor, Jared, especially encouraged him in developing his musical gifts, which we've been fortunate to see on display. With this support, Brody was able to finish high school, which was not something that happened in his family. After this, he went to Teen Challenge south of Perth, and here he had to come face to face with some of the deepest and darkest parts of his life. But doing this allowed God to mend the brokenness that was still lurking within him. Teen Challenge taught him so much about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and it gave him a solid foundation in his faith. After Teen Challenge, Brody moved to Sydney. God opened many doors to make this possible. He studied for 3 years at the C3 Bible College. As well as learning a few things, there was the bonus of meeting the lovely Raina, who's his wife. Okay, Exhibit A, loveliness over there. He served in many parts of the C3 church, youth ministry, kids ministry, discipling new Christians, discipling young adults, working on the music team, going on mission trips. He did that for over 10 years. During this time, he also completed a bachelor's degree of music at the Australian Institute of Music. Through being part of C3, Brody met Jay Janus, who was working here as our facilities manager. And a little bit of nepotism, Brody got hired as a nighttime caretaker. And when the position of youth worker became available, Brody applied for it, and the Holy Spirit led him in that direction. Fortunately, we did appoint him. Moving churches was a big change for Brody, a massive change. There was a lot about the Uniting Church that he didn't understand and struggled with at first. Coming from a Pentecostal church where most of the decisions were made by the head pastor to a church where everybody's voice can be heard on different matters was a welcome change. It's something he really cherishes about the Uniting Church, that everyone's voice is important and decisions are made by the councils of the church rather than just a head pastor. Brody says that being part of Church in the Marketplace has been an incredible blessing, and he and Raina both know that this is where God wants them to be at this time. Brody has seen God move powerfully in the lives of our young people. He and Raina love to be part of the Church in the Marketplace. It's a family to them. And of course, the family feeling has only been enhanced by the arrival of the delightful Beatrix in July last year. There's Beatrix's Exhibit 2 down there. She's inwardly delightful as well as outwardly delightful. Brody currently leads our youth and young adults ministries. He's very involved in preparation and leading of worship on Sunday mornings and preaches from time to time as well. He's authorised to preside at communion and at baptisms, and he's involved in works with other leaders in the Uniting Church, from other church bodies, and beyond. In 2019, Brody undertook what the Uniting Church calls a period of discernment, which is the way that the Uniting Church enables people to explore further their call to ministry. Brody has also completed some further study on living Christian values, on the sacraments, and on ethical ministry. Brody tells us that engaging in the period of discernment helped him clarify God's call in his life and led him to seek recognition as a lay pastor. Brody hopes that more opportunities for service, education, and leadership will be opened as he continues to minister with us. This includes his passion for evangelism, worship and preaching, and leadership. At Church in the Marketplace, we recognise that youth and young adults ministry can be challenging. We recognise that these ministries are not just a single person activity, but require engagement by and support from the whole church. We're blessed to have Brody engaged in this part of our life. We're also pleased that his gifts, his educational preparation, and his readiness to pastor amongst us has been recognised by Sydney Presbytery. We enthusiastically support the recognition of Brody as a lay pastor working with youth and young adults. Good on you, mate.
Friends, I have to say that I do a lot of these liturgical events, you know, for inductions, commissioning, conclusions, services. But I have to say that this morning's narration of steps is what just Paul have done it. That's what we call it in the church. Narration of steps and the presentation of Brody has to be one of the best that I have come across. And so, Brody, we rejoice that you have come today declaring your willingness to participate in Christ's ministry in this particular way. In serving as a pastor in the Uniting Church, you are reaffirming your baptism, declaring your allegiance to the crucified and risen Lord, and you better not cry because I will cry. And seeing to be obedient to God's will. And so I ask you now, do you confess Jesus Christ as Lord?
I do.
Do you believe that you are called by God through the church to this ministry?
I do.
Do you receive the witness to Christ in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? And do you undertake to proclaim from this the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and deed?
I do.
Will you seek to live and work within the faith and unity of the one Catholic and Apostolic Church as described in the basis of union?
I do.
Good. In your life and work within the Uniting Church, will you be guided by its basis of union? And will you submit yourself to the church's discipline and the oversight of the Presbytery of Sydney? Do you affirm and commit yourself to the covenant made between the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress and the Uniting Church and accept the obligation to serve both First and Second Peoples?
I do.
Will you endeavor to show love and compassion in the name of Christ to all among whom you serve?
I do. I will.
Good. Thank you. And so I'm going to invite you, the community here, Church in the Marketplace, to please stand. Will you, the community of Church in the Marketplace, accept Brody as pastor in Bondi here at Church in the Marketplace?
We will.
Woo! Great. Will you encourage him in love and support him in this ministry, serving with him the one Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
May God give you the strength to fulfill these promises, and to God be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus from generation to generation.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask those who have been called to lay hands to please come forward. Why don't you kneel? Yep, there. And we'll just... We can just above somewhere, not touch though. Friends, let us bow heads in prayer. Let us pray. By the Holy Spirit, Lord, strengthen this your servant Brody and set his heart on fire with love for you. Increase in him your gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and wonder in your presence, the spirit of joy and delight in your service, now and forever. Amen. And let us all bless Brody with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please stand, mate. Stay up there. You're not finished yet. And so, people of church in the marketplace, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the authority of the Presbytery of Sydney, we declare that Brody Teo is commissioned as pastor in the Uniting Church in Australia while serving here at Church in the Marketplace. Thank you. It was wonderful to be part. And blessings to you, Brody, in your new ministry. Thank you.
Hello. It's always hard to get these things right, eh? Comes out like 10 at a time. I do want to say thank you to everyone who's been part of my journey, right back to my youth pastor, Jared. He was the one who really loved me and showed me, you know, what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. But I would like to specifically thank Peter Godwin. I know he's not here in person, but I think he might be watching online. I'd like to thank Bronwyn and Mariah as well, because we had this little group that we were meeting together, and it was just really helpful for me to help me get my thoughts down and articulate things. And so I just want to say thank you. And I also want to just thank my wife, Raina, because, she's just been, wow, the best. I don't know what life would be without you. So thank you so much for just standing with me and just through the ups and downs of ministry, and love you lots. Cool. That's my brief response.
Friends, we're going to sing congratulations, Brody. We're going to sing a blessing upon Brody and indeed his family. We're going to declare that we are not who the world tells us we are, but we are who God says we are. So why don't we stand and sing Who You Say I Am. Friends, our Bible reading that Brody's going to be speaking to this morning comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through to 10 says this: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Among all of us who lived among them at that time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Powerful words, amen. Thank you, Brody.
All righty. This is on, yeah? All right, cool. Great. Well, again, I just want to say welcome to friends and family. I know there's a few people online, so I just wanted to say hi. If you're there, say something in the chat. I've got you on my phone right now, but thank you so much for tuning in. I don't think we acknowledge the people online enough. They're like, "Oh, I'll be there, but you won't really see me." Well, I've seen you. The title of my message this morning is Alive. That's a cool looking photo. But it's a great joy for us to be here this morning. God is good, amen. And if you're wondering what kind of pastor I have become, I'm definitely al dente linguini. It's my one joke. But how about we pray? Father in heaven, I just want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your amazing grace and mercy. I pray, Lord, that you'd have your way here this morning, that you would use me to speak your word. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't leave this place the same, but there would be some kind of transformation that would happen in our lives that comes from hearing your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have the power to transform lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, yeah, as you just heard, we read Ephesians 2. Peter read Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. What a powerful scripture. But I simply want to share this morning the good news. Isn't that good? Like, because who knows, there's a lot of bad news out there. But nothing fires me up more than speaking about the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel. There is power in Jesus to transform lives. And we're so blessed to be able to do this journey with you. It's very, very special to me and Raina and little Beatrix. So thank you for allowing us to do this journey with you. But my prayer and hope is that we would become more alive to the things of God, that something will bubble up inside of us and would come alive here this morning. So on that, has anyone seen the movie The Matrix? Like one person, cool. Well, it's a great spiritual film. It's not really it's not written by Christians, I don't think. But it has some very, very cool scenes. So this morning I'd like to just watch one of those little scenes from The Matrix. It is a bit crazy, but I hope it's okay that I show it. Maybe I'll get emails. But let's just watch it. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. So let's view that. Thank you.
Have you ever had a dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real? What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
This can't be.
Be what? Be real?
It's going into replication.
Hey, Pa, still nothing. Tank, we're going to need a signal soon.
I got a fibrillation.
APOC, location.
Targeting almost there.
He's going into arrest.
Lock, I got him.
Now, Tank, now.
We could just watch The Matrix and sermon done. Amen. But what a powerful thing Morpheus says to Neo. He says, have you ever had a dream that you thought was so real? What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world? You see, we live here and now in this world, yeah? We wake up in the morning, take a shower. Well, I hope you take a shower. I like to take my shower in the morning. We have breakfast, make a coffee. I always make coffees in the morning. We moisturize. That's why my skin looks so good. Thank you. We put on some nice smelling perfume. I wear Spice Bomb, if anyone was wondering. It smells very good. But the thing is, we can become so focused on the here and now and our future in this life. We cling to our life here on this earth because it's all we know, right? And Morpheus takes Neo on this journey to the real world. And it's incredible because he wakes up in the real world and he sees the truth for the first time. He realizes that he was trapped and enslaved by the Matrix this whole time. See, the Matrix was showing him what it wanted him to see. He was trapped in a simulation of the world whilst being blind to the real world. See, he was alive, but he wasn't really living. And I think that's one of the most powerful imageries. When he wakes up and the cameras kind of pan and he looks over, he's like, looks a bit like Peter, eh, with the hair. Nah, I'm joking. But he looks over to the left, right, and he sees all these people. They're just asleep. They're hooked up to the Matrix. They have no idea. And I will never forget what my life was like before Christ. I was like those people hooked up to the simulation, blindly following the ways of the world without realizing there is so much more to life. And I love what the Passion Translation says. It says, it wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. See, when we follow the ways of the world, we're dead and we're blind to the ways of God. So, you know, we throw this kind of lingo out there like the ways of the world. So what are the ways of the world? I think the world tries to tell us all kinds of things. And I think there's a few pretty big ones today that the world tries to tell us. And I'll just share a few. I can't share like every single thing. Otherwise, we'll be here forever. But I think the world tries to tell us that your success is tied up in how much money you've got or how good looking you are. I think the world values comfort. We want to be comfortable, especially in our Western world. Comfort is like, what about our appearance? I think the world values individualism. Do whatever makes you happy. And I think the biggest thing is the world tells you that it's all about yourself. It's all about you. You got to look after the desires of your heart. You got to look out for number one. It's gone real quiet. It's good. What does God value though? I mean, I can't go through the whole Bible and say it's going to be a long time. But what about things like this? God values things like humility. Philippians 2 says, in humility, consider others better than yourself. Jeez, that's hard to do sometimes. Like, that's really hard. Obedience. What about obedience? That's like an ancient word that just we don't want to talk about. God wants us to be obedient to following him. Jesus says, you know, people who love me, obey my commands. That's what Jesus tells us to do. What about selflessness? Jesus came to serve, not be served. What about generosity? The Bible teaches that we should be giving freely. Actually, the Bible also teaches in Proverbs, if you want to receive more, give more. That's pretty backwards, eh? What about loving those who are hard to love? Pastor Peter's sermon last week was about loving your enemy. That's tough. The Bible teaches about forgiveness, about faithfulness. We don't hear much about those things, eh? But I think it's a good question to ask ourselves if maybe we are dead. Not like in the physical sense, but am I totally blind to the things of God? Am I blindly conforming to the ways of the world? Do I need to wake up and see the world for what it actually is, just like Neo waking up for the first time. So going on to my next point, how do we come alive? So how do we come alive in Christ? Verse 4 says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Isn't that amazing? So it doesn't matter how far or how distant or how dead you feel to God. He loves you. I think the one way I can really illustrate this is, you know, I recently became a dad. I've been a dad now for 7.5 months. It's been really amazing. There's a newfound place in my heart. There's this new love that I have for my daughter, Beatrix, right? I'm just overwhelmed by love for her. I'd do anything for her. I want the absolute best for her. I would literally die to save her. That's my new love in my heart for my daughter. And in a similar way, God loves us. But his love is more than that. And he loves us so much that even when we were so far away from God and separated from him, he sent his son, Jesus. That is some very, very good news. John 3:16, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that for whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross. He died and he rose again. He broke the power of sin. Remember when he died, the veil was torn. He broke the power of sin. And I love what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. It says, he made him who knew no sin to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus makes it possible for us to come alive. He brings us into right relationship with God. It means we can be close to God. We can enter his gates boldly. And when we come to Christ, we get a new spirit. It's his Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in us. The Bible tells us that we become temples of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? You know, in the Old Testament, it used to be a temple where God would be, but now God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. That's incredible. And the Holy Spirit enables us and empowers us to live and become more Christ-like. So we come alive by firstly accepting Christ into our lives. Just like Neo, waking up to the new world. We see the world for what it really is. So, how do we stay alive? Is it the Bee Gees who sing that song? Staying alive. I think of Shrek because they, at the end, they do the dance party. You guys have seen Shrek, right? Okay. But how do we stay alive? Well, I think we need to stay healthy, right? So let's think about our bodies. How do you keep yourself healthy? Well, a pretty obvious one is you have to eat. You need fuel, right? If you don't eat, you're going to starve to death. But in the same way, we need to be hungry for the things of God. And to keep us spiritually alive, we've got to hunger after God. Okay, it's kind of confession time now. Who likes fast food? Like one person, a few people, yeah. All right, good. Honesty. It's another value of God. But man, every so often, I love myself some KFC. Anyone like KFC? You're like, oh. Like you like it, but you really like it, but you don't, you're too ashamed to like put your hand up, eh? Like, but man, I love me some greasy KFC at times. Hey, I call it Dirty Bird because, oh my gosh, like it's dirty after you eat it, right? but it feels so good in the moment to eat the greasy chicken with the hot salty chips and the Mountain Dew. I always get mine with Mountain Dew because it's like it's the only place you can get it, like Mountain Dew at KFC. But after I finish eating the meal and I'm staring into the empty box, I'm just like, I don't feel so good. like I feel kind of gross after that, right? But who knows if I ate KFC for every single meal, I probably wouldn't be alive for much longer. I'd become what you would call very unhealthy. Yeah, I'd probably be like a dad bod times a billion. But as Christians who are already alive in Christ, when we hunger for the things of the world, it's a bit like spiritual fast food. See, it satisfies your flesh, but is actually damaging and unsustainable in the long run. And just like our bodies, if we don't eat the right food, we can become very unhealthy, frail, and weak Christians. As Christians, we need to be aware of what we consume, what we watch, what we listen to. I remember when I first became a Christian, I used to listen to, you ready for it? Hip hop. You guys were like, what? You play guitar? You like rock? Yeah, but before all of that, I actually used to listen to hip hop. It was cool. But I had to stop because there was just like so much swearing in every song. I had to it kind of made me sick to listen to. I had to kind of stop listening to it. And that was another thing. Like when I became a Christian, I stopped swearing because I was just convicted. I knew it was so bad for my soul to continue swearing. And you know, I'm not perfect. Neither are you, and no one is. But it's funny, because I still sometimes slip up, and sometimes some very bad things come out of my mouth. Ask Raina, she'll tell you. But it's repulsive to me. I'm like, where did that come from? That's the old me. So the question is, where do we get our spiritual food from? Are we getting it from the world? Or from the Word of God? I mean, isn't technology amazing? Because in today, we have podcasts. We have preaching. You can go onto YouTube and look up your favorite preacher and listen to them. Isn't that cool? You can watch encouraging, inspiring movies. One of my favorite TV series is The Chosen. Has anyone seen The Chosen? It is so powerful. It's a TV series about Jesus. They're about to put out season 2. It's amazing. You can listen to amazing music, worship music. And if Sunday is the only day you feed spiritually and the rest of the week is like spiritual fast food from the world, how can we expect to be healthy followers of Christ? So what else do we do to stay healthy and alive? So we eat food. Another way we do it is by exercising. We go to the gym and work out. Well, I haven't been for a long time. But imagine this. Imagine if I just spent all my time reading a book about how to go to the gym and I never actually lifted a weight. In the same way, we need to exercise our faith. Share your testimony with someone. Share your faith with someone. We got to be the hands and feet of Jesus. A really great way to do this is volunteer at church. Amen. But we got to be doers of the word. See, God didn't create us to sit around and become spiritually fat, lazy Christians. Ephesians 2:10 says, it doesn't say he created us just to sit around and like read the Bible. It says he created us for good works. How good is that? The more we exercise our faith, the stronger we become. Who knows that the first time going to the gym is actually very, very hard? Oh my gosh, I remember doing squats with my brother-in-law. We were just like, it was terrible. But then we were like, that's it. We're going to do squats every day at the gym. And it was easy after that. We were just like. But the more we exercise, the stronger we become. Amen? And who knows this, right? Now, if you go to the gym and work out every day without taking a rest, who knows that you'll eventually crash and burn? See, another thing we need to learn is how to rest. Because actually rest allows you to heal, to grow, to recover. And it's very important in order to stay healthy. So what does that mean as a Christian? How do we find rest? Well, I love what Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says. I love what the message says. It says this, saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both, the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. When we trust in God, we trust that we have the assurance of salvation through Jesus. We trust in the Holy Spirit instead of ourselves. We trust God has everything in his hands, that God is in control. We trust that God is full of grace and mercy, that God is just, that he is faithful even when we are not. We can trust that God is for us. And when we learn to trust God more and more, it's easier to find rest. It's a weight off our shoulders. Jesus died on the cross so we didn't have to carry that weight, so we could be free. I love what Matthew 11, 28 says. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's awesome, hey. I mean, I think the best way I can kind of illustrate this is Raina's pregnancy. You know, when she was heavily pregnant, her body was carrying around all this extra weight. There she is now, Beatrix. But you know, when we used to go for walks, we'd go walking like around with Lara, and I'm a fast walker. Any fast walkers? You're just like, yeah, just like go for it. I'm a real fast walker. And then I used to like just kind of leave Raina behind, and she's always like, wait up, like, because she's like kind of waddling because she's super, super pregnant. But it was difficult carrying this weight around, and even when it was time to rest, she couldn't barely get a good night's sleep because of all this extra weight that she was carrying. And in the same way, we can be carrying all this extra weight that we don't need to be carrying. It's not ours to carry. We need to come to Jesus with that and find rest. So that kind of concludes my message here this morning. Hope it was helpful. But this morning I would love to pray with a few people here. I mean, if you have a sense in you that you want to be hungrier for God, maybe you want to be bolder in your faith, I'd really love to pray with you. Maybe you're really struggling to find that rest in your soul. Maybe you got weight that is just weighing you down. I'd love to pray with you this morning about that. Maybe you're here and you're like, you feel like you're not even alive. You feel like kind of like Neo, living a lie in the Matrix. But But maybe you're here and you don't even know Christ and you want to come to know him. I'd love to pray with you. So what I'm going to do is after the service, I'm going to just be hanging out around the front. Maybe Pastor Peter will be here as well. But if you would like prayer for any of those things, if you want to be hungrier for God, if you've got any weight that's weighing you down, or if you would like to just know Jesus, I'd love to pray with you. And I'm going to be hanging out here after the service. So let's pray. And then I believe the worship team is going to come. Yep. Right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. I pray that we would become more alive as your church. I pray that as believers, we would have a fresh fire in our hearts, that we would be hungrier for God more than anything else in our lives, that we would have such a passion to know you and to be your hands and feet. Pray you would fill us afresh, Holy Spirit. And we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.